Okay, Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph 21A3, eight lines into the very wide lines. Okay, the Gemara asked, the Gemara was saying like this: a king can have 18 wives, because David HaMelech had six, and the pasuk enumerates all six. And Nasan and Navi said, if it's not enough, I could triple it. Okay, so the Gemara said there was 18. So the Gemara asked the question, but there was another wife called Michal, Shlomo Melech's daughter. So the Gemara says that no, Michal is one of the other names mentioned, Egla.
Shimono HaMelech's daughter?
Shalom Melech's daughter. I meant Shalom Melech. You're right. Shalom Melech's daughter. So he says, why was she called Egla? Say, but the problem is that Pasik, when it says Egla, mentions her children. Okay? But the Gemara says, Ami Avala Michal Bani, did Michal have children? It's not true. Vaksiv, it says in the Pasik, Ula Michal Bashol, Lahoyeva Yeled, Adye Mesa. She didn't have a child until she died. So how can you say Michal is Egla, okay, is one of the six? But the pasuk over there says Egla had children. And if Michal is Egla, there's another pasuk that says Michal didn't have any children. Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista answers like this. Adye Mesa Lahoya. She didn't have until she died. But the day she died, she did have a child. In other words, she gave birth the day she died. But the Gemara says, Michti. One minute. Where does the Pasuk say they had the children? In Chevron. Right? The Pasuk says clearly, David HaMelech had six wives, and these are their children in Chevron. Michal was punished when she died in Yerushalayim. How do we know she died in Yerushalayim? It says in the pasuk, "Michal Bashol nishkev abad achalim." Michal Bashol looked out the window of Ateres HaMelech David. She saw David HaMelech mefazes and mechaker b'fnei Hashem. She saw him leaping and dancing, and she scorned him in her heart.
Yes,
because she was embarrassed from David HaMelech, who was her husband, doing that.
That's where she died.
Yeah. Okay, what was the punishment of Michal? That she became barren, right? So the question is, how can you say she had children in Chevron when the story happened in Yerushalayim? Ela'ema, what means like this? No, ad eisemai sahoyala. It means like this: until she made fun of David HaMelech, she did have children. Mikan ve'elach, afterwards, lahoyalei nashe. Then she didn't have any more children. When the pasuk says Michal didn't have children, it meant from the time she scorned David HaMelech until she died, she didn't have children.
But she had before.
In other words, let me explain what I'm saying. David HaMelech first lived in Hebron, then he went to Yerushalayim. Okay? So the Gemara's question is, how can you say Michal is Egla? And she had children in Hebron when she lived in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, basically, the bottom line is like this. She had children in Chevron. Then she came to Yerushalayim. That incident happened when David HaMelech was dancing and she didn't like it. So from that day on, she became barren.
Didn't we learn that she told, actually, David HaMelech?
Yeah, later on she told him off.
But she didn't have bad intentions. She felt that he was mevazet et hamakom shel of being a king. She cared for him.
Yeah, but she was upset that he did it.
So, but she was disappointed only because she revered him. She felt.
I understand, but if David HaMelech was doing it, she should have understood that it's right.
Okay, so she had a poor judgment.
It was many years ago. You know, the Rebbe sometimes told the guys to whistle by the Fabring, and you see it on
the Pfeiffer, just like.
Yeah.
To whistle?
To whistle by a Fabring. They would go, Mayor Abbasari. Anyway, so they once printed in the Yiddish paper, the Chabad paper, the Allgemeine Journal, a picture of the Rebbe whistling. It was printed in the Yiddish paper.
Rebbe was whistling?
Rebbe motioned. The Rebbe didn't whistle. The Rebbe motioned to whistle. But they have a picture of the Rebbe going like this. You know them. So a bunch of Chabadniks wrote in letters to the editor, and I remember the story, letters to the editor, a chutzpah putting in a picture of the Rebbe like that.
Right.
Why are you putting a picture of the Rebbe like that in the newspaper? So the Rebbe, by a Fabring, screamed at the people for writing such a letter. And the Rebbe says, it says in Tanakh, David HaMelech was mefazed and mechaked, which one of the definitions means he was actually whistling. So the Rebbe said, if David HaMelech can do it, what, are you ashamed from something, that story in Tanakh, that David HaMelech whistled? You see, for Simcha, when they were carrying the Arden, whatever, for Simcha, what, are you embarrassed that there's a picture of whistling when Tanakh says David HaMelech whistled publicly? I never screamed at them for writing a letter against them for putting in the picture.
So Algemeier came from Chabad? I thought it came from...
Algemeier, you know, it was a Chabad newspaper.
Chabad?
Jacobson.
I thought it came... Jacobson. I was getting it... I thought it was from Forward.
No.
No. I saw it was conservative.
Forward's conservative. Not Algemeier, you know, was from Chabad. Okay.
Forward is liberal.
That then it says... Oksiv, it says in another pasuk, the Gemara said like this... How do we know a king could have 18 wives? Because David HaMelech had 6. And the Navi said, I'll triple it. But the Gemara says, we find David HaMelech had more than 6. So then if the Navi said, I'll triple it, then it should be more. Right? So the Gemara says, V'akseh v'yikach David e'pilakshim menoshim Yerushalayim. It's because the Pasuk says, in Chevron, David HaMelech had 6 wives. But another pasuk later on says that Davina and Shmuel, it says, Davina Melech took more wives and concubines. So obviously, it should be more. So Gemara answers, no. Lemalu Yishmeinosek. When he took the more wives and concubines, it was to make the quota of 18. Okay, that was to make the 18. When it wasn't, he can't have that triple. So now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. My noshim and my pilakshim. We find in Chumash, by the way, the concept pilakshim, or pilakshim ishmei ro'uma, in Chumash you find pilakshim, concubines. What's the difference between a wife and a concubine? Halachically, the Gemara says. So there's an argument between Av and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, noshim b'ksuva or b'kedushin. Wives have kedushin and ksuba. Pilakshim b'loy ksuba b'loy kedushin. Okay? But over here at the bottom, he brings down that not everybody agrees with that text. Okay? Rashi in Chumash says, a pilegesh. Here the Gemara says like this. Wives have kedushin and a ksuba. Pilegesh has neither. But Rashi in Chumash and other Rishenim have a different version of this Gemara. And they say that a wife is kedushin and ksuba, and a pilagish is kedushin without a ksuba.
You still need kedushin.
Of course. But no, because this version of the Gemara says clearly, b'lay ksuba, b'lay kedushin. Okay?
So once against Torah, you
need kedushin to...
No, that's why, if you see at 34, a virgin Gemara found in the standard text is that concubine is taken without... Okay. Many commentators, however, including Rashi, seem to have a different reading of the Gemara. And they read it, Pilegesh b'loy ksuba b'kedushin without ksuba. Our Gemara says neither. And Halacha is, by the way, the definition of a Pilegesh is not like this Gemara, but like the other versions of the Gemara, that it's without kedushin, but without a ksuba.
Yeah. Once you have kedushin, you're already married, so why not femina?
First of all, kedushin, you're not married. But the Gemara says you're not allowed to live with your wife without a ksuba. Chaf Aleph. The Gemara says it's a din. If a guy loses his ksuba, if the woman loses the ksuba, yeah, you can't be together. They have to write another ksuba. It's called ksuba di irchasa, a ksuba that was lost. But the din is a pilagesh. This concubine doesn't need a ksuba because she's not the... Why did the Chacham initiate ksuba? By the way, people don't understand. Ksuba is the benefit of the wife.
Yeah.
Okay? And the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to live with your wife if she doesn't have a ksuba. Why? Why?
She has to have rights.
No, because the Chachamim... No, but why? Because the Chachamim don't want the man just to be able to throw away a wife. A ksuba is a lot of money. Today I'm not talking about the secular courts. Ksuba is X amount of money. If they divorce or he dies, he has to pay X amount of money, correct? So, if a guy doesn't have a ksuba, why shouldn't he divorce his wife? What's stopping him from divorcing his wife? Because, for whatever. Ksuba, right? Ksuba is a heavy debt. So a guy's going to hesitate to divorce his wife if he has to pay her so much alimony. It's not alimony, it's ksuba, right?
Obligation.
But pilegesh, a concubine, is not a wife. The whole reason of a ksuba is to protect the wife that the husband shouldn't want her, just to throw her out. But if she's a concubine, okay, the chacham don't care, because it's not a wife.
It's a concubine.
It's a good girlfriend that's legitimate.
Mistress.
It's a mistress, yeah.
The French would say.
A mistress.
Legal.
So Avraham Avinu, when he said plegish, that's the kind of plegish.
That's what Rashi says in Chumash.
That's very.
That's what Rashi defines in Chumash.
In Israel, they have Hayedua Betzibur, somebody that is known in public, that is to be.
Okay, that's the picture. Okay. Amir Rav Yehuda, Amir Rav.
But Bilhah and Zilpah, they weren't actually married,
right? Rashi one time says that they were pilaction.
But he keeps saying he gave them to her.
Right, but it's a question of Bilhah and Zilpah, the din of a pilagish, the din of a wife. Amir Rav Yehuda, Amir Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Arba meyes yiladam hayolil David. David HaMelech, not that he had 400 kids. In his army, he had 400 kids. V'kulam b'nei yifas toyer hoyu. They're the children of beautiful captives. Let me explain this then. In Parshas Kisesi, the Torah says, if you go out to war, and you find a beautiful shiksa, and you fall in love with her, right? So you bring her to the house, you make her miserable for a month, and then if you still want to live with her, then you can marry her. She converts, and you can marry her. Yeah? So the Gemara says, David HaMelech had 400 servant army guys, soldiers. All of them were children of Yifas Tayers, of different people. Okay? And we'll soon see. The Megalim blue Yisayu. And they used this long locks of hair. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. The Kulan Yeshim Mekrein shows up, and they all sat in carriages of gold. Mahalchim Barashi Gaisa Sayu, they were the elite soldiers in the front. They were the strong people of David HaMelech's army. Okay, now, it says like this. The pagan custom, I'll explain the second half before the first half. The Goyish custom was, they would grow hair for a year without cutting it. Okay, it was called Bludius. Now,
after the war?
What do you mean the Goyish custom?
The pagan custom in those days that the goyim
after someone passed away.
No. They grew long hair.
From when?
It speaks in Shulchan Aruch. You're not supposed to grow blurious because it's the goyish style. Okay, it was long hair. Right? It says over here they would grow for an entire year before cutting it. Okay, now these children, because their mothers weren't Jewish, they adopted the mother's traditions. Why didn't they stop them? He says they were not considered children of birth, and David never converted them, but allowed them to be like the Ger Taishiv, a guy that accepts the seven mitzvahs. Now, they were nevertheless permitted to grow hair because that had the effect of striking fear in the hearts of the enemy. Okay? Because when the goyim, David HaMelech's enemies, saw that David HaMelech had goyish soldiers, they realized, oh my God, this guy has the whole world with him. It wasn't only David HaMelech. They said, wow, even the Goyim are fighting with him.
Yes.
So that caused fear to the Goyim. And that's when David HaMelech would win physically the battles. But now there's a whole thing over here like this. What does it mean? There's a whole machlekes in the Rishonim. By the way, Rashi and Tosfos also. It's like this. The Torah says, you meet a shiksa in battle. You fall in love with her. Okay, you bring her home and you do it. So there's a machlekes in the Rishonim. Are you allowed to live with her once before you bring her home for the month, or must you wait for the month to be the first time with her? Okay, there's a machlekes in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim conclude that the Torah permits the soldier to be with the woman for once, and even without marrying her, and then not. Following initial contact, he cannot engage with her. Okay, that's Rabbeinu Tam's and Rashi. Okay. Other Rishonim learn, no. You can't be with her until a month later. But the fact that you know you could be with her a month later stopped your Yetzer Hara from them. Because you realize, okay, they say, I'm sorry, it's a machlekes between Rashi and Beinu Tam, and they say it's a machlekes Tam Yerushalmi. And Taisa speaks about it over here also. Okay? So anyway, so these guys, these soldiers that David HaMelech had, were all these guys of these beautiful women. They grew the long hair, and they were used by David HaMelech to...
Foot soldiers.
Okay. Now, the Gemara continues and says like this, Amr Yudamirav, Tamar, David HaMelech had a daughter, you know, Amnon and Tamar, we learned yesterday's Pirkei Avos. I mean, we didn't learn the Mishnah yesterday, but yesterday's Pirkei Avos. Tamar was the daughter of David HaMelech, okay, and she was the daughter of Ma'acha, who was a Yefas Toyer that David HaMelech took. It said in the verse, Tamar, okay, so what happened? Amnon, Gemara is going to speak about this now. Amnon was a half-brother of Tamar. Both father was David HaMelech, different mothers. Mm-hmm. Okay? Tamar was stunningly beautiful, and Amnon wanted to live with her.
Wanted to marry her.
Yeah. Well, no, not marry her, because it was like a half-sister. You can't marry a half-sister. But his friends advised him, we'll see in the Gemara, his friend advised him, call her over to your apartment, tell her that you need help, you're not feeling well, whatever, and then you'll seduce her. And that's what happened. Okay, remember in Pirkei Avos yesterday it says, what's the difference between love dependent on a cause and love not dependent on a cause? Right? Love not dependent on a cause of David and Yonah's son, that lasted forever. A love that was dependent on something...
Short-lived,
yeah. So it says, right after Amnon lived with Tamar, he despised her for good. Permanently. That was the... So the Gemara says like this, Amen of Yudamirav, Tamar was Yefas Toir Haisa, she was daughter of David HaMelech from a woman, Ma'acha. And it says, V'ata Dabinu al HaMelech, he says like this, Tamar says to Amnon, speak to the king, that he should allow you to marry me, he's not going to, stop you.
One second.
If you're going to tell me that Tamar's mother was fit to marry David, would his sister be permitted? How could David allow brother to marry. Thomas says to Amnon, Thomas wanted to marry Amnon. Okay, he seduced her, so he fell in love with him. So she says, speak to David, he'll for sure let you marry me. But the Gemara's question is,
so she liked him also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he seduced her.
You mean after they had
right.
relationship?
If they're his own kids, basically.
So he says, how could she tell the Amnon, her half brother, go tell our father he should let me? It's not allowed. Alishmami, no. We see from there that Yefas Toyer Haya. That means like this: Tamar was conceived before the mother converted, so she was a shiksa. So she's not Amnon's half sister.
Well,
it said, if Machok, the mother, converted before Tamar was born,
then there
would be half brothers because they had the same father, David, and different mothers. But if she was a shiksa, and Tamar was born from a shiksa, then it's not David HaMelech's kid, it's a shiksa's kid. So then she's not a half sister to Amnon.
No, but they had, meaning after. Before she converted.
But biologically,
so the Gemara says, if she was born after the mother converted,
then she can't marry.
Huh?
Does it matter if when she conceived or when she was born?
Conceived.
But she was by David HaMelech.
Yeah, but if she's not Jewish, then she's a shiksa. Then she's not related to Amnon.
It's not the question that there was another Goyish guy that Tamar
no.
is from. It's
no.
from David HaMelech, right. But it depends on if she converted before.
So the fact that Tamar said David HaMelech would allow me to marry you must mean that they weren't half brother and sister.
She knew that. She's not silly.
She knew that she was her mother was a shiksa. But even if she converts, it's interesting. I mean, it says in Shechina she's not allowed to do it. If a brother and a sister are not Jewish, a typical guy, yeah, brother and sister, convert to Yiddishkeit, halachically they would be able to marry each other because they're not related
anymore.
But Torah says you're not allowed to do it. Why? It doesn't look right. As goyim, they were not allowed to marry each other, and now as Jews, they could. It doesn't make sense. The same thing technically, by the way. If a mother and son, goyim, a mother and a son convert, in technical halacha, again, it's not allowed, but in technical halacha, they're not related anymore. So therefore, the son would be allowed to marry his mother. But halacha says you're not allowed to, because Torah says as a guy you couldn't, and now as a Jew you could. I mean, it doesn't make sense. You're not allowed.
So both their parents, Avram and Sarah, they don't have parents? They're not related. He doesn't have a mother anymore who's living? How does it work? When a mother and her son...
It's still halachically biological, yeah. For instance, we had this case many years ago in the city. It was a very interesting case. If a goyish man is married to a woman, it's okay.
I'll catch him.
No. A goyish man is married to a Yiddish woman, and they have a kid. The kid's Jewish, correct? Then the father converts. Correct? What happens like this, the story that happened was like this. There's this goyish guy married this Yiddish woman, had a daughter. And then he converted. Okay? When he converted, the wife didn't want to stay married to him anymore. So she threw him out. They divorced. Yeah?
He already converted.
He converted from. Mamish from. Beard at the works. She threw him out. She didn't want to marry him. She divorced him. So but they had joint custody. Now, halachically, that's not his daughter. Because when he converts, he becomes a new person.
Oh, so she cannot...
The
she
question is there a problem of yichud between the biological father and daughter, even though they're not halachic father and daughter? It's a shad that we had, a real story, a long time ago. But the poet says in halacha that because they're biologically related, yichud is allowed. The purpose of Gemara, in fact, Gemara is going to talk about this soon if we get there. But after the Amnon and Thomas story, the Chum forbid Yichud. There's biblical Yichud, rabbinic Yichud. But Yichud is forbidden because we're afraid something is going to get done. The fact that they're biological people, there's no interest in a biological father messing around with his daughter. So it doesn't apply the din of Yichud.
Except for Woody Allen.
So here, this is
about normal people.
So this is a proof that David HaMelech didn't have relationship. The question was if they can have relations once he meets the Yefator or not.
Right.
So according to this, they cannot have relations. The Yefator cannot have the relation until a month later when she converts.
Right, so it says, this, according to that sheet, that this Gemara is a problem. Because how could David HaMelech live with Machat, the father Tamar, if you hold, you're not allowed to marry her, you're not allowed to even be with her once until she converts. So obviously, but they talk about he could forcibly convert her, whatever.
In the end, David let them?
No.
So how did it... So
they hated each other anyway.
But they were with each other.
Once.
So is that was a problem?
Yeah. We're going to see. The Gemara's coming up now. Okay, then it says like this. The Gemara's explaining the Amnon and Tamar story. They was going into the details. Amnon Reya, Amnon had a friend. Ushmei Yonadav ben Shimi Achi David. Okay, his friend was Yonadav, the son of Shimi David's brother. And he was a very smart man. He was smart for evil. In other words, he's an evil man. But Yemen, he says, Madu atar kochadal ben amelech, this Yonadav, Amnon's friend said to Amnon, why are you so gaunt? He said like this, because he knew that Amnon was in love with Tamar. So Yonadav said to Amnon, let me tell you how to get her. Okay? He said like this, lay in your bed, and fake that you're sick. And then you should tell to her, prepare food in my sight. In other words, Amnon should tell, fake that he's sick, and text Tamar, and say, come, I need somebody to cook for me, I'm sick. So what happened? So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and she poured cakes before him. Or, she made fried foods. Okay? In other words, like this.
When he was sick.
Yeah. This is an explanation, like he says, why did the not David suspect something's funny over here? That Tamar is going to Amnon's house, like, because he was sick. So David HaMelech, okay, she's sick.
Whose idea was this?
This Yonadav guy, Amnon's friend.
It's not. You said he was David's brother. He's the son of David's brother.
He was the son of David's brother.
Son of David's brother.
Son of David's brother.
That's what it says. Yonadav ben Shima Achi David. So Amnon and him were cousins.
Right, David's nephew.
Right. So Amnon was a cousin. But Yisna Amnon sinig deila ma'id. Okay. Okay, we're going to go through this Gemara without elaborating on it. Okay, Amnon hated her tremendously. So Gemara said, why did he hate her so much? Amnon of Yitzchak, name a kish in the leiv, also a kruz shavcha. A pubic hair of hers became entangled around his organ, and it cut him, so he became what's called a kruz shavcha. So Gemara said, "V'chinik shel iimay avda." If your pubic hair became like, what did she do? Well, she didn't do anything. So it said, "Ela ema kashula nima." She did it intentionally to make him a kruz shavcha. If you have a cut organ, then it's no good. So any Gemara says, "But says v'adar shirava ma'idchse v'yetilach shem b'goyim b'yafech." What is the meaning? What it says? Your renown went forth among the nations for your beauty. She'ein lam lebreis Yisrael. This is not nowadays, but it says in the olden days, one of the unique, natural characteristic trait of a Jewish girl, she had no hair, not underarm, or not in pubic area. Later, by birth, it wasn't that they shaved it. The Gemara says, by nature, Jewish women were renowned in olden times for the fact that hair did not grow under their arms or their pubic hair. The lack of body persisted among Jewish women till the destruction of the first time Beis HaMikdash. Whatever. So the question is, how could Tamar do a pubic hair around him if they had no pubic hair? So Gemara says, Shani Tamar Devas Yifas Toyer Hava. She was really not a Jewish girl. She wasn't born Jewish. So she didn't have that trait. So she did have it. Okay. Vatikach, Tome, Efer, Al-Resha, Tome put ashes on her head, and the garment of fine wool she tore. Tone, the Shmei,
Rabbi Yishmael.
Why did
she do that?
Huh?
Why did she put ashes?
Because she couldn't marry.
One minute, we'll see in a second. Okay? Tone, the Shmei, Rabbi Yishua, God, Gidra, Tome, Beisisho. By publicizing her humiliation, notice, Tamar became very humiliated by the story. Okay? So the Gemara says Tamar made a great barrier at the time, meaning Amrul, the people would say, Lifneis Malachim Kach, if this such a terrible story can happen to princesses, Lifneis Hedyat Alachas Kama Vakama, how much more so can this terrible incident happen to normal people? Imlets Nois Kach, if it can happen to modest girls, Lifrutzis Alachas Kama Vakama to the not modest girls, for sure it can happen. Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Ba'ayis Hashoah, at the story of Amnon and Tamar, Gazru al Yichud v'al Apnuya. They made the din of Yichud against a married woman and even against a non-married woman.
That's the source? When that's
well, Amen, it's in Mardik. Mardik right away says, Yichud al Aysahu. But Yichud is biblical with a married woman. Okay? Right now the Gemara says a statement. At the story of Amnon and Tamar, the Chachamim made, this is what the Gemara is saying, the Chachamim made that you can't be alone, not with a married woman and not with a single woman. Okay? So the Gemara said, what do you mean at that time? Yichud with a married woman is biblical. So how can you say they made it then? It was going before that. Because Amr Rabbi Yechem Shim Rab Shim Yub Shim Ben Yehi Tzadok Rem is Li Yichud Ben Atayra Minayin. Where do we find the prohibition of Yichud with a married woman in the Tayra? Because it says like this, Ki Yisizcha Achicha Ben Imecha. If your brother, the son of your mother, shall instigate you, let us go work, you know, against that, for idols. So he says, it says, the son of your mother. So Gemara says, Ben A Maisis, Ben Aveinu Maisis. The pasuk seems to emphasize that the son of a mother will cause you to worship idols. So Gemara says, and the son of a father won't? Like, why is the Torah saying the mother? So he says, because Elalei Melach, the teacher says this, Ben Misyached in Imi. A son can have Yichud with his mother. But Ben Acher Misyached in Kolarei Shebetayra. Why does the Torah say Ben Imcha? The Torah is teaching us a new din. That a son is allowed to be alone with his mother, but not with anybody else forbidden to him. So the Gemara's question is, you see Yichud with an Eish HaSish is alluded to in the Chumash, so how can you say at the time of Amnon and Tamar, David HaMelech instituted Yichud?
So that's a bit Pinuya also.
Ala'ema gozu Yichud ala Pinuya. So the Gemara answers. You're right. 1 second. So Yichud, at the time of Amnon and Tamar, they were both single. She was single. She wasn't married. So in other words, like this. Yichud with somebody forbidden with you is taka biblical. According to most Rishonim, in fact, it's biblical. Amnon and Tamar, she wasn't forbidden for him. They were both single. So Amnon and Tamar's story caused that they forbid Yichud even with a single girl. Now, by the way, Yichud applies to everybody except sons. No, brothers and sister, by the way, there is Yichud. 30
days.
No, La'aloch, it's 30 days. Some people say 3 days. Brother and sister. La'aloch and Shechon Aruch is, I mean, the Shechon Aruch being on the base of but the people are making. Brother and sister can live alone in an apartment for 30 days.
A married brother and married sister?
Unmarried. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No.
If you like, my sister is married and I'm married. I cannot stay in my sister for a couple.
You could. So up to 30 days.
Alone,
alone. Alone,
alone. Alone.
Alone. Living in an apartment. The only one there's no yichud at all is grandparents, children, grand, you know, lineage. Mm-hmm. A father and a daughter, there's no din of yichud. A mother and a son, there's no yichud. Grandfather and granddaughter, there's no yichud. Grandmother, grandson, there's no yichud. But everybody else, there's yichud. Our brothers and sisters says temporary. Some people paskin write 3 days, but Allah will be paskin 30 days. They can. So if you have a brother and a sister living alone in an apartment, it's a problem after 30 days.
Is two sisters, one brother, say the same, or you have one? Two,
well, the question is, how many do you need to undo it? You need three, really, whatever. But
even different rooms,
as long as they're locked in the same house. Mm. And but this is all the dinim of yichud. It's a separate. But the Gemara learns, so therefore the Gemara says like this. Yichud with a married woman is biblical. That we learn now from the Pasuk Ben Imecha. But Yichud with a single girl, a married boy, by the way, doesn't matter. Whether the boy is married or not, the girl's single, right? Mm-hmm. So there's Tula Din Yichud at the time of Amnon and Tamar. But this is from David HaMelech's time. David HaMelech instituted the sin of Yichud.
Coming from this Tamar, huh?
At the time of the Tamar story, the Chacham instituted that.
What happened to her at the end?
I don't know.
This Tamar was the daughter of a collection that...
Not a, of a fast
Torah. Fast Torah that David HaMelech brought back?
She a holy woman?
Let me tell you something. All this stuff if you want to be a Bible critic, sounds pretty bad. David HaMelech with Yefastayer, David HaMelech with Batsheva, you know, it sounds pretty bad. But we mentioned about the fast toyer, yeah. There's a famous Arachayim Hakadosh at the beginning of Parshas Kisaytze. It's a remarkable. It's mandatory reading to understand concepts of Chumash. He asks a question like this: the Pasuk says a guy goes out to war. Look, we're learning a fast toyer. Yeah, a guy goes out to war, falls in love with a shiksa. Yeah, so Arachayim asks, it doesn't make sense. Because who went to battle? Only the tzaddikim. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, if you're afraid of your Avedis, the person that had Avedis didn't go to war. Because he wouldn't have schusim, merits, to save him, right? The Jews fought by Hashem. So who went to battle? Basically, tzaddikim went to battle. Who didn't have sins? So how is it that a guy that's such a holy guy is going to fall in love with a shiksa? I mean, come on.
He loves the battle.
No, like... You know, how is God running the world like this? So he explains like this. He explains, this is what Dara Chaim HaKadosh says. At the time of Eitz Hadas, when Adam and Chava sinned, he said, a lot of Jewish neshamis got mixed up amongst the goyim. That's what Eitz Hadas accomplished. A lot of Yiddish neshamis ended up by goyim. Okay? And he said that's the whole concept of conversions, like a person wanting to convert. He says, why should a person want to convert? So he doesn't mention this part, but the Chidah says, and the Rebbe quoted this many times, in the Gemara there's an expression, ger shenis gayer, a convert who converts. Never does it say a goy who converts. It says a sick person got healed, prisoner became free. It says all these... So L'chaira, it shouldn't say a convert who converts, it should say a goy who converts. Right? So the Chidah says, based on this whole putting it all together, he says a goy doesn't convert. Who converts? A Jewish neshama that was lost from the time of Eitz Hadas amongst the goyim. Therefore, the halacha is, you know, when a goy comes to convert, you try to push him off. The halacha is, once you see he's serious, you're not allowed to push him off anymore. Why? Because this is Yiddish and neshama that's coming back. That's why they're all present at Matan Torah. Pirkei Avot Rabbi Elazar says, every Jewish neshama of all generations, including the future converts, were all present at Matan Torah. Even the Gaidim were at Matan Torah. So he says like this. Therefore it says, Geshen is Gayer, because a real Goy doesn't convert. Who's converting a Yiddish and a Shama that got lost amongst the Goyim at the time of Matan Torah, at the time of Eitz Hadas? And he explains, this is the story with Shechem and Dina. Why did Shechem rape Dina? I mean, how did Shechem allow it? Think about it. How did Shechem rape Dina? Dina was a holy girl. I mean, like, what happened? So he explains that Shechem was in the Shama of a Jew. And not only was he a neshama of a Jew, he says he was the neshama of Rab Chanina ben Tradyan, who is one of the 10 martyrs that was killed at the time of Churban Beis Hamikdash, Rab Chanina ben Tradyan. And he says, he quotes a pasuk, by the Shechem story, it says the brothers were speaking, negotiating the deals. He said, Hinei ha'aretz, rachavas yodayim hi lefneichem. The Shechem boy said, you know, the land will be open for you. You can do whatever you want. He says, Rachavas stands for Rab Chanina ben Tradyan. This is what Dor Nechaim HaKadosh writes. So he says, this is the story with Yifas Toyar. How does it take? Hashem runs the world, yeah? Anyway, you want, that should still, God's still running the world. God's running the world. Why did God make that a guy, a tzaddik, basically at war, should fall in love with a shiksa and bring her to the house and convert her? Because this is a Yiddish girl. It's a Yiddish girl. And therefore, Hashem makes that you fall in love with her because she has to be converted. And Hashem runs in funny ways. So when you speak about David with Micha, that was the mother of Tamar, Micha obviously was a very great neshama. Right? And therefore, David HaMelech had to marry her. right? Yeah. So there, and in fact, you know, when a few weeks ago we read in the Haftarah, Yeshua sent spies, Parshas Shlach, right, mm-hmm. to the house of Rachav.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Rachav,
the Gemara says, married Yehoshua afterwards. When the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, Rachav married Yehoshua. She was a very great lady, a great neshama. Leperl, because of the Eitz Hadas, she came into a shiksa.
But at that time, there was no other human being, Eitz Hadas. I mean, where was it? Just how, who?
The neshamas existed.
All the
neshamas were there before the world.
But
so Leperl, a lot of neshamas, and therefore all these tzaddikim that we read about, this Ar HaChaim explains a lot of fundamental issues. Whether Shimshu with Delilah, as they call her in English, or all these stories that took place with tzaddikim, you're talking about tzaddikim, have no Yetzer Hara. David HaMelech had no Yetzer Hara, right? Why? He falls in love with the sheiks in battle. I mean, come on, how does it work? Hashem is running the world. This is what the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh explains. Hashem is running the world because that neshama had to come to David HaMelech. And that's why Hashem made that she should meet David HaMelech in battle. And he should fall in love with her. Like how it's not right for it doesn't make sense for David HaMelech to do this. The answer is because that neshama had to be elevated.
Rabbi, it's